Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis using the Zelle app, and I want to thank John for supporting the podcast that way. You can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month by going to patreon.greatdetectives.net. But now it is time for this week's episode of The Falcon. The original air date on this one is December 3rd, 1950, and the title is The Case of the Harried Husband.
The Kraft Foods Company brings you The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking.
Oh, Lila, I'm glad you called. Well, you'll have to count me out tonight, Angel. I have to see a client who's going to make my fortune. Mm-hmm. This boy's a big shot, and he's going to show me how to make a killing.
This is Ed Herlihy, friends, inviting you on behalf of the Kraft Foods Company to listen to The Adventures of the Falcon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novels. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now join him on the air when the Falcon solves
the case of the harried husband.
Miracle Whip
has a flavor so pleasing.
Miracle Whip
tastes so lively, so teasing.
Miracle Whip,
only one of its kind.
Miracle Whip,
best salad dressing you'll find.
Miracle Whip is the only one of its kind, because it's a different type of salad dressing made from a secret Kraft recipe. Miracle Whip combines the best qualities of old-fashioned boiled dressing and fine mayonnaise, so it's truly distinctive and delicious, with a flavor millions of folks call just exactly right. Try it, won't you? One taste will tell you why it's America's favorite salad dressing, the one and only Miracle Whip.
Now, the case of the harried husband.
It is early Sunday evening in New York, and a handsome boy named Jeff Rogers nonchalantly walks down the fourth floor corridor of the Hotel Maynard. It's obvious from Mr. Rogers' attitude he thinks he doesn't have a care in the world. But when he opens the door to his room, he learns differently.
Hello, Jeff.
What?
Be frightened, darling. It's only me.
How did you get in here, Rita?
I gave the desk clerk one of my prettiest smiles and $10.
Well, you had no business.
Of course not, Jeff. But you're a hard man to see these days.
Well, as a matter of fact...
You were just about to call me.
Word of honor.
Don't lie, honey. You do it very badly.
Oh, now look, Rita.
Oh, don't take on so, Jeff. On the other hand, there are things you do exceptionally well. Which reminds me, how's Mrs. Davis?
You mean Pat Davis?
Who else would I mean?
Oh, you know what that is.
I know what it better be.
Now, Rita, there's no reason for you to act like this.
Oh, sure, but then there's no reason for me to be nuts about you either. You're not the brightest guy in the world.
No.
And when it comes to looks, I've known prettier boys, too.
Still, you're crazy about me.
Heaven help me. And heaven help you if you got any ideas about this Pat Davis.
I tell you, sweetheart, it's strictly business.
When does it pay off?
Well, you know how it is. These things take time.
That's what you told me last week.
Well, you just be patient, baby.
When are you going to see her again?
Tonight at 9.
Is this the night?
Could be. How do I look?
Come here, you dog. You know, I'll cut your heart out if you ever get any other ideas about another woman.
Hey, is that clock right?
You've still got time for one more.
What?
Now get to work.
evening, Mr. Odger.
Hello, Charles. Is there a lady?
Uh-huh.
Where is she?
Follow me, please.
She been waiting long?
Oh, ever since 8:30.
It'll do her good.
Jeff!
Well, Pat.
I couldn't imagine what happened.
I'm sorry, baby. I was detained.
Well, would you care to order now, Monsieur Rogers?
What do you say, Pat?
Well, I'm not hungry at the moment.
Oh, okay, Charles. We'll call you when we're ready.
Certainly. Very good, monsieur.
Well, how have you been, honey?
A lot you care. You haven't called me in a week.
Well, that's because I've been working on a big deal.
A big deal?
Listen, sweetheart, if this thing goes through, we can kiss this town goodbye.
You mean that, Jeff?
Would I lie to you?
Well, what is it?
I just got word from the boys at Hollywood Park that they're ready to roll.
I don't understand.
Well, a friend of mine has got a race fixed for Monday. This nag will pay 50 to 1.
You sure, Jeff? You know
how bad... I tell you, it can't miss.
But when it comes to horses...
Well, if you think I don't know what I'm talking about...
Oh, of course not, darling.
Okay, then. How much money can you raise?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I could manage 1,000.
Ah, chicken feed.
But, Jeff, that's all I have in the bank.
What about your husband?
My husband?
Yeah. In a racket like his, he must keep a lot of cash on hand.
Well,
doesn't he?
I suppose so.
What do you mean, you suppose so? If someone plays a number that hits, Barney has to pay him off right away.
Well, I don't know much about Barney's business.
Well, take it from me. It's strictly cash and carry, and policy in this town is heavy cash.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Find out where Barney keeps it.
But, Jeff...
Don't worry. We're not going to take it with us. As soon as our horse comes in, you'll put it back. Then it's you and me for foreign shores.
But supposing...
Come on, sweetheart, make up your mind. They're not going to hold the boat for us.
All right, Jeff. You can make the reservations.
Come.
Hello, Jeff.
You back again, Rita?
Evidently. I was wondering how you made out with Pat Davis.
Not so hot.
What happened?
I guess it just wasn't my night.
I can't believe it.
It does seem incredible, doesn't it?
It does to me, honey. Because, you know, I think you're irresistible.
You want my autograph?
Well, if it's on a picture, it might help. It would be a wonderful way to remember you.
Come again?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to have much more.
What are you raving about?
I picked up this envelope at the desk.
What? Give me that.
I've already opened it. And can you imagine my surprise? I didn't know you were going to Canada.
Who says I am?
Oh, did you buy the ticket for a friend?
Oh, now, Rita, baby, you don't think I'd run out on you.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. You know how I feel about you, Jeff. I would never stand in your way. But I wonder how Mrs. Davis will take it. And, what about Barney Davis?
What about Barney Davis?
I was just wondering if he'll be able to bear up under his loss. Have a nice ride, Jeff. I've had mine.
Left, 14 right, 37 right. What the devil?
Yeah, what is it, Barney?
You busy, Doc?
Well, I was just going to take my vitamins.
Well, take a double dose later. Come in here. I want to show you something.
What's cooking, Barney?
Me. Take a look in that safe.
Hey, someone's been in there.
Yeah, hey.
Well, don't look at me, Barney. I don't know nothing about it.
You sure, Doc?
I swear.
There was over 50 grand in that till.
Well, I ain't the only one who's got the combination. What about Tony Farrow? He left the place after I did last night.
Get him.
Well, he ain't here. He phoned this morning to say he wasn't coming in.
No?
No, he said he ate some Chinese food or something yesterday. He didn't feel so hot. If I told him once, I told him a million times. With his ulcers, he oughtn't to mess around with stuff like that.
And what do you recommend in my case?
Huh?
I'm suffering from a loss of 50 grand.
Oh. Well, maybe we ought to go up and see Tony.
Say no more, Doc. That's one prescription I'm going to follow.
I understand you.
What's the matter, Tony? I thought I was speaking English.
Yeah, but I can't believe it. Who could have walked off with that, though?
Oddly enough, that's just the question I was going to ask you.
Well, what about Doc here?
I left the office before you did.
Well, I guess you're elected, Tony.
Who am I?
That's the way it looks to me.
What about your missus?
Pat?
She knows a combination.
Are you insinuating?
Yeah, I am.
You take that back.
Let me go.
Are you going to take that back?
You think you're smart. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Davis. You're a sucker. If I told you what I know about Pat...
What do you know about Pat?
Never mind.
But I do mind. And if you're trying to keep a secret from me, I know just the thing to bring it out in the open.
Who's there?
It's only me, Pat.
What's the matter, Barney? You look upset.
I just got some distressing news.
You want a drink?
That might help.
What happened?
Well, you know, I don't like to bother you with my problems.
You always treat me as though I were a child.
I didn't mean it that way, honey. Well, here's to us.
No, I won't drink with you unless you tell me what happened.
Well, you know Tony Farrell works for me.
The one who's always walking around with all those pills?
No, that's Doc Julian. Tony's the tall, good-looking one. Of course, he isn't so handsome right now.
What do you mean?
He said a couple of things about you.
What?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
What did he say?
That you were carrying on behind my back.
How can you have the nerve to say a thing like that?
Well, you asked
me,
I can't...
You listened to that horrible man.
Now, Pat,
you stood there while he attacked my character.
I didn't stand there.
You took his word against mine.
Where are you going?
What do you care? You don't love me.
Pat, come back. Pat!
Order, please.
This is Mr. Rogers in 412.
Yes, sir.
What do I have to do to get a little service around here? This is the fourth time I've called for a bellboy.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll check.
Never mind. He's here now. Just a second. Take it easy, will you? You got your... Hey, what's the... idea?
Yes?
You, Rita Sherman.
That's right.
I was wondering whether you'd like to go out with me.
What?
Actually, I'm just trying to be polite because you don't have much choice in the matter.
What are you babbling about?
My name is Sergeant Corbett. I'm with the Homicide Division.
So?
So a boyfriend of yours got himself knocked off last night.
A boyfriend of mine?
Didn't you used to run around with Jeff Rogers?
You mean Jeff?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Why would I lie to a pretty girl like you? Better pack a bag, honey. I think you're going to be away for a long, long time.
Just a second.
Yeah? You Mike Waring, the Falcon?
That's right.
I'd like to talk to you.
You think you're in any condition? What happened to your face?
I had an accident.
You must have been a big boy.
It wasn't that kind.
Anything you say.
You don't believe me.
What difference does it make? It's your face and your story, Mr.
Scolari. Vincent Scolari.
Mm-hmm. Sit down.
Thanks.
Oh, it's on your mind.
You read about that killing last night?
Which one? This is New York, you know.
I'm in at the Maynard Hotel. I got a fellow named Jeff Rogers.
Well?
They're holding my wife for the murder.
Your wife?
Rita Sherman.
And your name is Scolari? Well, that figures.
That's Rita's maiden name. We're separated.
Was this Jeff Rogers the cause?
Nah, it was my fault. Rita picked up with Jeff after I started horsing around. But she never killed him.
And who did?
That's what I'm paying you to find out.
Did you say paying?
Will $500 hold you for a spell?
And a little while longer.
One, two, three, four, five.
Oh, thanks.
Now, I don't want you to bother Rita with this any more than you have to.
Well, I'll need certain information.
I can fill you in.
Okay. What kind of a boy was this, Jeff Rogers?
Oh, real Casanova type. Dames all went nuts about him.
Who was the last one?
A dame named Pat Davis.
Now, who's she?
I don't know. But for those 500 bucks, maybe you can find out. I'll be seeing you, Waring.
This is Ed Herlihy again, friends. I have a little suggestion for you ladies who wonder what you're going to do for some interesting menu ideas. And my suggestion is this. Just get a 2-pound loaf of Kraft smooth melting pasteurized processed cheese food, Velveeta. You can melt Velveeta for smooth, delicious cheese sauce that'll add extra goodness to vegetables or seafood or rice or just plain toast for a fine main dish. And it's such an easy sauce to make. All you do is melt a 1/2 pound of Velveeta in the top of your double boiler. Notice how smooth it melts without any lumps at all. Then slowly stir in 1/4 cup of milk, season to your taste, and there you have it. A delicious cheese sauce with a wonderful, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. A flavor that everyone, the youngsters and grandma included, will enjoy often. And it's a wholesome dish, because Velveeta is so rich in important food values from milk. So whether you melt Velveeta for a swell cheese sauce or slice it thick for hearty sandwiches, you'll find Velveeta is a mighty handy helper, Mother. Get a 2-pound loaf tomorrow, won't you? It's America's favorite cheese food, the one and only Velveeta, made by Kraft.
Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon.
An hour has passed since Mike was retained by a Mr. Vincent Scolari to solve the murder of Jeff Rogers. And now, as we find Mike, he's about to earn his retainer.
Who is it?
Telegram for Mrs. Pat Davis.
Oh, just a minute.
Hello.
Well, you're not with Western Union.
Well, I tried to enlist, but they wouldn't have me.
What do you want?
Awfully drafty out here.
Well?
Now, I can assure you, Mrs. Davis, I'm perfectly respectable. I'm a second-class scout in Troop 87.
Come in.
Thanks.
You don't look like a boy scout to me.
Well, I'm kind of tall for my age.
What's your name, mister?
Waring.
Just Waring?
Well, there's a mic that goes in front of it, but no one seems... What's the matter, Mrs. Davis? Something burning?
Why?
Well, the way you wrinkled your nose when I mentioned my name, I thought maybe you smelled something offensive.
Maybe I did.
Huh?
Falcon.
Oh.
What do you want?
Well, as I started to explain, in order to be a first-class scout, I have to pass map-making. And my assignment is to locate all the Pat Davises in New York.
How are you doing?
Well, not bad. Would you mind telling me a little about yourself? What kind of men do you prefer?
Those who know where they're not wanted.
Oh, they're hard to find. Was Jeff Rogers like that?
Who?
Jeff Rogers, boy who was murdered last night?
I never had the pleasure.
You sure?
If that's the only reason you came here...
I know, I can get.
You've been reading my mind.
Well, I've had enough practice. But I don't know what I'm going to tell my scoutmaster. He's going to be awfully disappointed.
Only me, Pat.
You're home early.
Yes, yes, I had a purpose. I wanted to apologize for last night. You stormed out of here before I had a chance to say I'm sorry.
Well?
Well, now I'm no longer sorry.
What?
What was the Falcon doing here?
Who?
A private detective.
There was no one here all afternoon.
Don't lie to me, Pat. Doc Julian saw him.
Are you going to take his
yes.
word?
Did you wire Waring to get you evidence for a divorce?
Did I... That's the funniest thing I've heard in years.
I'm glad it tickled you. We'll see if Mr. Waring finds it so amusing.
Bonnie, you're not going up to see him.
You mind?
Darling, you've got to believe me. There's absolutely nothing to it. Why would I want a divorce?
That's what I intend to find out. And I don't think anyone can be as helpful in that as Mr. Waring. You must be Mike Waring.
Must be. And you?
My name is Barney Davis.
What's on your mind, Davis?
Oh, call me Barney. Everyone else does.
Oh, I wouldn't presume.
No, I want us to be real friendly. You were around to see my wife this afternoon.
You asking or telling me?
I'm telling you. How long have you known her?
We just met this afternoon.
You're lying.
Okay, have it your way. We were childhood sweethearts.
Who put her up to getting the divorce?
Look, Davis, you're out of your mind. I'm working for a girl named Rita Sherman.
The woman they're holding for that Jeff, what's-his-name's murder?
That's right.
What does Pat have to do with her?
Well, you're providing part of the answer right now.
I don't get it.
Your wife was running around with Jeff Rogers.
You're a liar. She didn't even know the guy.
No. Well, I'll bet she tried to stop you from coming up here and learning the truth.
What?
Am I right?
Now listen to me, Waring. I love my wife.
Well, bully for you.
And if you think you're kidding me with this routine, you're not. Doc?
Want me?
Yeah. Come in here for a second, will you?
Sure thing.
This is Mr. Waring.
Hiya.
Hi.
What do you think of the specimen?
You mean you want a diagnosis?
No, I've diagnosed his trouble myself. What I want you to do is give him a treatment.
Oh, sure.
Now look, little man, put away the lead pipe.
You got it wrong, Waring. It's a very delicate instrument. You heard of them taking a spinal tap, didn't you?
Huh?
Well, I worked the other end. I'm just going to tap your skull. No.
How do you feel, Mike?
Huh?
I don't know why I should try to revive you. This is the first time I can remember you being quiet in months.
When did you get here, Sergeant?
The superintendent phoned me after the brawl was over. Now, what went on here?
Well, you know that Rita Sherman you're holding?
The girl who murdered her boyfriend?
She didn't.
What makes you so sure?
She's my client.
It's silly of me to even ask. It's funny Rita didn't tell me about it.
It was her husband who hired me.
What's his name?
Vincent Scolari. He told me it was his fault. He and Rita broke up. Rogers had nothing to do with it.
But you know Rita didn't kill him.
Yes, Corbett. This boy Jeff was quite a man with the ladies.
That I discovered for myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you discover anything about a girl named Pat Davis?
Pat Davis? No.
Well, Jeff kissed her off.
How do you know that?
I'll leave it to Rita.
You don't think I'd take her word for it?
Well, she may know something.
She might, but I doubt it. Otherwise, she certainly wouldn't have hired you.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's find out. All right, Lyons, open them up.
Hi, Al.
Hi, Emma. Hey, what happened to you?
He got that for using his head.
Huh?
Come on, open them up. Hello, Rita.
You're wasting your time, Sergeant. I am not answering any more questions.
Well, you'll have to, Angel.
Who are you?
Mike Waring.
Mike Waring?
Yes, your husband hired me to act for you.
My husband?
Mm-hmm. Vincent Scolari.
All right. I give up. What's the answer?
Well, it's very simple, Rita.
I doubt it. I've done a lot of silly things in my life, but I never got married.
What?
But you can stick around, Mr. Waring. Maybe we can do business.
Remember, tomorrow at your grocer's, you can get a wonderful new salad oil for your homemade salad dressings, your cooking, your baking. It's Kraft Salad Oil, the first salad oil for home use ever offered by the makers of all those wonderful Kraft dressings. Kraft Salad Oil is a lighter-bodied oil, super fine, to blend perfectly with other ingredients. Get a pint or quart bottle tomorrow at your grocer's. Ask for Kraft Salad Oil.
And now, back to the adventures of the Falcon.
Just a few seconds have passed since Mike Waring learned that Rita Sherman was never a bride, from which our hero draws one conclusion. Obviously, if Rita was never married, her husband couldn't have hired Mike.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
You boys aren't fooling me, so you might just as well run along.
I tell you, this Scolari claimed he was your husband.
How could he have been?
Well, he gave me $500 to represent you. Here, look.
So what does that prove?
Well, what have I got to gain by a story like this?
I don't know. Maybe you're a cop.
I'm a private detective.
Are you any good?
The Falcon, good. Why, Sing Sing is loaded with people who'll be glad to vouch for him.
All right, Sergeant, knock off. Listen, Rita. You have no idea who this Scolari is?
Well, what'd he look like?
Good-looking boy. At least he was before someone played potsy on his face. About 5'11", dark hair.
Nope.
Spoke with a very slight accent.
I can't place him.
But he must be a friend of yours.
Well, how do you figure that?
Well, this was hardly the act of an enemy. Unless he was so confident I would foul this up and land you in the chair.
You could do that, too, you know.
No.
Listen, Mike, you sure you haven't imagined all this? How does Barney Davis fit into this?
Remember that Pat Davis I told you about?
Yeah.
Well, that's his wife.
Why didn't you say so before?
You didn't give me a chance. You know anything about this, Rita?
Well, only that Jeff used to see her occasionally.
Was he in love with her?
Well, I wouldn't think so. He only bought one ticket for Canada.
Then you knew he was running out on you?
He was running out on Mrs. Davis. I was supposed to meet him there later.
Now, why would he run out on her?
Well, I wouldn't know for sure, but I think she gave him some money to invest.
Oh, how much money?
I have no idea.
Well, I have.
Huh?
An idea. I just got a hunch who this Vincent Scolari might be.
Who?
A fella named Tony Farrow. He works for Barney Davis.
He does?
He did the last I heard.
Well, what are we waiting for, Sergeant? Let's see if he's still gainfully employed. Hello, Barney.
Well, if it isn't my good friend, the Falcon.
Yeah, though a little the worse for wear.
Nah, how did that happen?
You don't really care. You know Sergeant Corbett?
Oh, sure. How are you, Sergeant?
Fine.
I brought him along to vouch for me. You wouldn't believe me when I told you I wasn't working for your wife.
Well, I believe you now.
Oh, that's very big of you. What convinced you?
Pat told me the truth.
Ah. Your wife around?
No.
Where is she?
Out.
You mean you trust her alone?
What kind of a crack is that?
Oh, come on, Barney, wake up.
You know the last guy who sounded off like that?
It was Tony Farrow.
How did you know about him?
He was up to see me. You made a bad enemy there.
I'm not worried.
Well, you should be. You know what he went and did?
No, but you're going to tell me anyway.
He hired me to work for Rita Sherman.
Well?
But don't you see his motive? He hoped that I could pin the Jeff Rogers murder on you.
Why me?
Because he hated you and you were a hot suspect. Your wife was seeing Rogers.
Listen, Waring, I told you before.
Come on, you've got to face it, Barney. You've been a patsy.
Take that back.
Watch it, Davis.
Now, believe me, that little girl never deserved anything you did for her, including murder.
What did you say?
Oh, why pretend, Barney? You heard me the first time. All right, Sergeant, make like a policeman.
I know I shouldn't ask questions, Mike.
No, don't be silly, Rita. I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Well, all right, then. What was this all about?
Oh, it was the oldest story in the world, Angel. Barney thought Jeff Rogers was going to steal his wife, so he took steps.
Said steps being to Jeff's room where he killed him, huh?
Exactly.
Well, how did you know that Barney was the guilty critter?
When I learned that Vincent Scolari was Tony Farrow.
Well, if your purpose was to confuse me, Mr. Waring, you succeeded.
Well, you know why Tony was beaten up?
Yeah. Because he made a crack about Barney's wife.
Mm-hmm, which came out when Barney was questioning him about 50 grand that was missing from the safe.
So?
So, if Tony had swiped the dough in addition to insulting Pat Davis, what do you think would have happened to him?
Barney would have killed him.
Mm-hmm. And the mere fact that Tony was alive therefore meant that Barney had checked up on the story and found it to be true. And once I realized that Barney knew about Rogers and his wife, I knew he'd killed him.
I get it.
Now, good for you. Any further questions, Angel?
Mm-mm.
Well, then it's my turn now. How is for you and me to...
Nope.
Now, how can you tell what I was going to say?
When it comes to that department, every woman's a detective. Good night, Angel.
There comes a time in the life of every homemaker when she has to fix a dinner fast, and that's when Kraft Dinner is such a help. You see, in just 7 minutes cooking time, Kraft Dinner makes delicious macaroni and cheese. Wonderful, tender macaroni with fine cheese flavor all through. Just like I said, in only 7 minutes cooking time. That's because every package of Kraft Dinner gives you a special quick-cooking macaroni and just the right amount of Kraft grated for that grand cheese flavor. So tomorrow, get a couple of packages of Kraft Dinner.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. Sergeant Corbett is only in a few scenes, but he really adds so much. As to the plot, there's honestly a lot of moving parts to this one because our victim was racking up murder motives at a very high rate for such a short time on stage. So, a lot to keep track of, but the Falcon cut through it to the real killer with a quick bit of reasoning. I really have to say that at this point, I think the Falcon is a bit underrated. Sometimes I'll like a show fine, but not enjoy it as much when I'm listening to an episode every week. But with the Falcon, I'm finding it's the opposite. It's so consistently good and really a cut above most of the other shows that we've heard coming out of New York City. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. And on YouTube, regarding the episode The Case of the Widow's Gorilla, John writes, "No one ever suspects the helpless woman." And then we have another comment on YouTube. This one is regarding Dr. Tim. "So how old are those very old-sounding kids supposed to be? And why are children hanging out with a person that's not a parent?" Well, thanks for the question. I think that the actor who played the boy, Sandy, either his voice changed or they changed actors. Because the actor in the episode we just played sounds quite a bit older than Sandy did in the first episode. I always imagine them to be somewhere between 11 and 13, maybe 14, although it's never stated in the program. As to why they are hanging around with Dr. Tim, I'd answer that he is a trusted authority figure. And it's the 1950s. Now, not only is this necessary for the program to work, we just think about the issue entirely differently. It was really quite common in the 1940s and 1950s, and even going back to the 30s, for heroes to be portrayed as having kids sidekicks. It was a way to draw in the juvenile audience, allow them to imagine themselves working right alongside our character, whether you're talking Junior and Dick Tracy, or Robin and Batman, or Bucky and Captain America. This idea of being the sidekick, of riding along with these amazing heroes, was really a part of American life and really part of that fantasy. And certainly, it works in educational programs to bring kids along as sort of sidekick characters so that you can have a representative of the kids that's going to make it feel relatable to them and make the kids feel part of the action. But as a culture, we've shifted away from that, in part because of the way we perceive these situations, as well as some real-life situations where real adults have use these sort of relationships for nefarious ends. And so you're far less likely to see these sort of setups in modern stories, particularly involving male lead protagonists. And then we have a comment from Facebook regarding our special of Hotspot, which was adapted from the movie I Wake Up Screaming. Greg writes, "Great show. I've got to watch the movie now. Keep up the great work." And then he added a P.S. "I found the movie and thoroughly enjoyed it." Well, thank you so much, Greg. And I'm so glad to hear that you found the movie. And that is one thing that I really do like about those movie adaptation radio shows. Is I have had an occasion where I've never seen the movie, but I listen to the radio program and I'm like, I should go and watch the movie. And I've been introduced to some great films that way. Of course, there is that sad instance where you listen to the radio show, you want to see the movie, but it is completely unavailable. Thankfully, not the case with I Wake Up Screaming. And again, thank you so much for the comment, Greg. Well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Julie. Julie has been one of our Patreon supporters since September of 2018, currently supporting the podcast at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Julie, and that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And if you're enjoying the podcast on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. We'll be back next Monday with another episode of The Adventures of the Falcon. And next Tuesday, we will be offering a previously uncirculated episode of The Thin Man. But join us back here tomorrow for Ellery Queen, where...
Join the Green Gorillas and find out who's giving them their orders. The secret head of the gang.
That's it. Grab their leader and they'll fold. We've got to. They're headed for a lot of trouble.
Oh, well, there must be some other way to find out.
Nicky, there isn't a member of that gang older than 15. No, this has to be an inside job, and only a kid from the streets can get in.
I'll be okay.
All right, Bob. Now, look, I'll stick as close to you as I can. But the first time you feel the heat's on and I'm not within call, don't go to the Y. Don't go to any of the places you usually go. Come to my apartment. Understand, Bob?
Yes, sir.
I had a duplicate key made today, in case you come when nobody's home. Carry it with you at all times, Bob. Here, take it.
All right, sir.
Getting you into the gorillas won't be hard if you follow orders.
Well, what's my orders?
Well, Bob, tonight you're going to be on Grew Street committing a crime.
Committing a crime?
That's right, Nicky. Bob's going to roll a drunk.
Who, Mr. Queen?
Me.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.